The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast, a look at the betting ahead of this week's Top Flight Premier League football. It's Dave Callner here in the studio, joined, as per usual, by Mr. Lee Phelps.
Hello.
Hello, Lee. And fortunately, we have a professional on the line this morning as well. John Withers, a pro punter, has joined us. John, good morning.
Morning, Dave. How's it going, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. It's good to have a professional with us this week.
I don't get what you're implying. I'm some sort of amateur mug here.
That's not the implication. That wasn't meant to be the implication.
No, I was going to say if it is, and that's absolutely fine. I'm happy to wear that hat.
Good to have you with us, John. As per usual, we'll look through the TV games before getting onto the Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs. Let's get straight stuck into it, John, with Arsenal versus Manchester City, 12:45. Arguably the game of the weekend. This one, Arsenal 2-1. The draw 2-1. Manchester City in the betting at 6-4. Manchester City, John, have actually been backed here. They were in the betting at 7-5, just been clipped in slightly to 6-4 now.
That's the other way, actually, isn't it? 6-4 is bigger than 7-5.
Lee,
you should present this.
Should I do
that?
Look, I didn't want to say anything to him. I just thought I'd let it ride and I'll edit it at the end, but you've absolutely ruined him.
Clipped the draw in. They've had me there. They've clipped the draw in, and Arsenal and City have both drifted in the betting.
That's staying in, by the way.
That's a great start to the podcast for myself.
And the best thing about it is that John is that Kellner makes out he's the trader amongst us all.
Yeah,
good job he isn't.
That's an embarrassing way to start the podcast, but
it can only
get better from here. John, Arsenal actually started with a 2-1 win at home to Palace, but subsequently they've been held on the road at Everton and Leicester. Man City coming into this after that shock defeat against Stoke, getting beaten 1-0 at home. They're actually unbeaten in 19 at the Emirates, Arsenal. But as I said to Lee off air, these are the games that Arsenal struggle with traditionally, or historically, anyway.
Yeah, they've got a bad record against when they're playing the top fleets. People criticise Wenger, don't they, for his tactically naive. So I'm not sure I buy too much. At the end of the day, these teams are playing. They've got much bigger budgets and they've got much better players. Wenger actually overachieved, or at least he does what he's expected. He definitely doesn't underachieve, so I wouldn't read too much into that. But I've had a small bet on City about 185, so just slightly bigger than 5-6 draw no bet here. So, but I'm not big on it though. I'm not 100% sure, because City I've definitely had to rate City down a bit after this. I thought they were the best team at the start when the season started, but Chelsea definitely the best team now.
Did you read a lot into that result then against Stoke, John? From a personal perspective, you mentioned there that you thought City coming into the season best team. Do you put a lot of emphasis on that 1-0 defeat against Stoke?
I rate them down, but the main thing, obviously, the fact there was the big thing with that was that the market was against City as well, and there was a big move for Stoke. So obviously, there was a lot of money opposing Man City there. So yeah, you've got to respect the money in situations like that. So. They definitely had to be rated down after what happened last week. I mean, to be fair, Arsenal, Leicester, if they'd have got that draw against teams like Palace or QPR, I can understand the criticism. But Leicester actually, they're probably like the 10th or 11th best team in the league. So
yeah,
it's not a bad result.
Lee, Danny Welbeck likely to get his first start for Arsenal at the weekend. Only two other players in Premier League history have played for both Arsenal and Manchester United. Robin van Persie one, and Mikel Silvestre the other. Wenger expects Danny Welbeck to make an immediate impact. Went for $16 million in the end. Could have been more if they could have waited till after Wednesday night when he scored a couple for England. Do you see him having a big impact?
Maybe not in this game, because he's up against one of the best defences in the country, isn't he? Demichelis and company, if they're at the back together, then I think don't see him getting too much change out of either of those two players. I mean, he's not prolific, is he? And he never has been prolific. I think this will do him the world of good, this move, because obviously he's in a similar way to the Sturridge one did for him at Liverpool. I think it might give him a new lease of life and all the rest of it, and the manager will be focusing on him and him solely. But when Louis van Gaal gets rid of him, because he's got three better strikers, and that's Arsenal's main hope now because Giroud's injured, you'd be a little bit worried, wouldn't you? I mean, he's scored 29 goals in 142 appearances for Manchester United, 6 in 28 for Sunderland when he went there on loan, 2 in 8 for Preston. It's not fantastic, is it? You know, he's going to get a lot more chances to his feet for Arsenal, but not this weekend, I don't think. I think there'll be a few punters who are just having a bet on him because it's his debut and yep. blah, 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 but not for me, really. I don't see Arsenal getting much change out of City full stop, really. I think, I don't know how much, you know, people read into this, but they've both got a trip to Germany in the week to play in the Champions League, which obviously is a major focus for both. Arsenal are playing Borussia Dortmund and Manchester City are playing Bayern Munich. So two huge games for them there. I think the Champions League, it will mean a lot more to Manchester City this season than it has done in previous seasons. I think they need to progress in that competition from a club point of view. They've won the Premier League twice now, haven't they? And I'm not saying the players wouldn't want to win it again, but you know, I think now they really want to kick on the Champions League. So I can't help but think if this is a draw, you know, after 60 minutes or so, that it'll maybe continue to be a draw until the end of the game.
Yeah.
Not because either team will want, you know, will take the foot off the pedal. Just I think subconsciously they'll start to think, you know, or the manager will even start to think about it. So I'm going to go for low goals. This game traditionally has been quite a low scorer since City became the new City. Last year was the fly in the ointment, of course, when City smashed them to bits 6-3, and it was 3-0 in the Community Shield as well to Arsenal. I'm going to go for a draw here. I think they'll kind of cancel each other out a little bit. I think it might be one of those early kickoffs that's a little bit drab in the first half. And I think if it's quiet in the first half, or quietish, and there's a lot of kind of standing off each other and playing around in midfield a little bit, then I'd be very confident of the draw by full time. Then you know, I'm not a big correct score punter, but I can see 1-1 happening. But I'd be more than happy just to stick with the draw.
The draw's in the betting at 2-1. 1-1 is in the market at 6-1. Two headline offers on this game as well: Danny Welbeck to score and Arsenal to win, 5-1, and Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win in the betting at 7-2. And if you're looking for Man City, draw no bet here in the market at 7-10. Let's have a look at Liverpool Aston Villa then, which is the evening kickoff on Saturday, 5:30 p.m. start time. Liverpool 3-10, the draw 4-1. Aston Villa in the betting at 10-1. Liverpool were as short as 1-4. They have eased slightly in the betting to 3-10 now. Lee, it's been a decent start. We'll start with Villa here. It's been a decent start for them defensively. They've looked pretty solid. They're the only team actually with more Premier League points than shots on target so far this season, Aston Villa. They've had 5 shots on target. They've got 7 points from their 3 matches. But this is obviously their toughest test to date.
Yeah, and they've got a lot more coming. I mean, their fixture list is torrid from here on in. I mean, they've got Liverpool away, Arsenal at home, Chelsea away, Man City at home, Everton away as the next 5 fixtures. William Hill's traders put out a price on the specials markets for Villa not to lose every single one of those games. So lose against all 5 from now on in, 5-1. Come on,
that's
lads.
Short, isn't it?
That's stingy. It's sort of price John would have put out when he was
when
he was a trader. Yeah. Trying to lure the mutts in like me. I mean, you know, 6-1, I'd have taken it. It's a torrid fixture list for them. They got a 2-2 draw at Anfield last season. They took a 2-0 lead. In a way, Liverpool are the kind of team that I think Aston Villa like to play. They don't mind, you know, sitting in and trying to hit teams on the break. They've got a bit of pace. Obviously, no Benteke this season at the moment. But, you know, the likes of Vyman and Egbon Lahore, they do finish the chances pretty well. And Liverpool haven't, I don't think they've corrected the defensive problems that they had. And I keep saying it, but I think the only way they'll make sure the Suarez departure doesn't hit them hard is by conceding less, so they don't have to score quite as many. Now there's no Sturridge, you know, can you trust Balotelli? I'm not so sure about that. You know, he had a lot of chances in that first game for them and didn't really some of the shooting was terrible from him, wasn't it? I'm tempted, because of the price on Liverpool, to go with Villa or the draw here. I think I think they can get something out of it. They got something out of it. You know, last time they went to Anfield, and it's more the price on Liverpool I don't like. So I'm trying to find a way of effectively laying Liverpool here. And, you know, yeah, plus a goal for Aston Villa, or Villa in the draw, is around just over 5-2.
Yeah, 5-2 for Aston Villa or the draw here. John, how...
I'll take Villa plus a goal in at 13-5.
How do you rate Liverpool as a team and their start to the season?
Yeah, I like Liverpool. Yeah. I thought this game when I priced these games a couple of weeks ago, and when the price came out, I thought I'd definitely be having a bet on Liverpool. But the price is pretty much bang on to me, because I thought I had Liverpool. I like Liverpool more than most people, and I'm against Villa more than most. So I thought it'd be a definite bet on the handicap, maybe like -1.75 or -1.5 or something like that. But it's The prices seem pretty good to me. I mean, I think even though Villa have had a good start, the market's been against them in most of the, especially there was a move against them against Hull last week, and they won, and then they beat them, they've had a really good start. But I've got them down as like one of the third or fourth worst teams in the league. I'm trying to get on them to go down. Actually, I don't rate them at all.
I thought you're not a Villa fan then, John, with that accent.
No, West Brom.
I know. I was trying to get a rise out of you. Didn't really work.
I don't really mind Wolves either. I haven't got time to hate to the club.
Brilliant. I like that. To be fair, as a pro puncher, I wouldn't expect you to be betting with your heart.
No. I'm quite happy to bet against Albion and back other local midlands teams. Does it make the difference?
To be fair, you'll probably make money out of backing against Albion this season.
No, I think again, they're another one where I think they're not as bad as I think the media and they've got like a manager they never heard of, so they're going to be useless. True. But they're probably something like the 12th or 13th best side. It's so tight, you know, but between the bottom 10 teams, there's just nothing in it really. So any of them can go down.
The one bit of team news that could be big in this game is Ron Vlaar is struggling to recover from a calf.
Yeah, he might not play.
That's a big thing for them. You know, suddenly he's the best defender in the world.
He's an important player. Yeah. I mean, I don't take too much notice of team news, but he's someone. But Sturridge is going to be out for Liverpool, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is, and it will be between, you would imagine, Mario Balotelli or Lazar Markovic to get the start up front for Brendan Rodgers' team. Liverpool 3-10, the draw 4-1, Aston Villa 10-1. So you reckon, John, price is bang on here?
Yeah, I think that Liverpool price is that's 3-10. That's probably that might actually be like a tiny bit of value, but it's people tend to put that kind of stuff in multiples, don't they? But I'd prefer Liverpool to Villa, but it's pretty much bang on.
Lee?
Yeah, I don't like the price. I just think without Sturridge, I think Liverpool might just come a croppy. I'm just worried about where the goals will come from for Liverpool, and I think Villa have showed that they can score. Yeah. So I'll go with that Villa plus a goal at 13-5.
Let's have a look at Manchester United versus QPR, which is the 4 p.m. Kickoff on Sunday. Manchester United 3-10, the draw 4-1, a QPR in the betting at 10-1, so identical prices at time of recording to the Liverpool Aston Villa game. Manchester United they finally got a clean sheet away at Burnley. not the start that Louis van Gaal would have envisaged, John, going into the season. QPR do look to me like a limited side, and Manchester United obviously made lots of moves in the transfer market this summer. How do you rate those moves, first of all, John?
They've just got desperate. They've overpaid, haven't they? Yeah. Long term, he'll probably come back to bite them. But at the end of the day, he felt that he didn't like what he's seen, and then they've just got desperate, and they've spent fortunes on players they've lost it, really. I mean, the strange one for me was selling Welbeck for that price, and to their main rival for coming fourth as well.
Yeah,
you know, fair enough selling him, but you try and avoid selling it to him and to Arsenal, and 16 million. You know, you see some of the players you see move for, like, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of him, but he's got his huge value at 16 million compared to some of the other prices around there.
Hmm.
They've just strengthened their main rival for fourth place. Strange, and then they've just blown loads of money on like you know, who's it, that Shaw Falcao. Yeah. They spent so much money.
They have.
Fortunes, yeah.
Now he's been questioned about how he's going to fit all these players into
the team.
Yeah,
well, it's going to be hard, isn't it? You've got so many like attacking players now.
Yeah, so he's in line for his first start, Radamel Falcao. They have, obviously, they've only signed him on loan at the moment, paying over the odds week by week for Radamel Falcao, no doubt, but I think they needed him.
He definitely strengthened. Yeah,
he must do, because Van Persie and Rooney. Van Persie looks, he's either not fully fit or he's disinterested at the moment. And Rooney's lost his pace, hasn't he, John?
He hasn't looked the same for a couple of years now. I wouldn't say about Rooney, but they're not all. I don't know what he's going to do with all. How he's going to? He's not going to be able to fit them all in, is he? But
unless you play a front four, you know, just go for QPR and absolutely, you know, try and go for them, and you know, don't worry about how many they concede. Kind of, I wonder if they'll end up being a little bit like Liverpool were last season, where it's kind of like, we'll just score more than you, whatever happens, because Liverpool defensively were pretty poor for a title challenging team, and I wonder if Manchester United might go the same way. I mean, how can you sign Falcao and not start him? Is my question.
I'm sure he'll play. But
he's better than Rooney at finishing. He's arguably a better finisher than Van Persie. He might not be a better all round player than Van Persie, but I mean, I've seen a few predicted lineups. You know, the idea of having a midfield of Blint, Herrera, Mata, and Di Maria. With Rooney and Van Persie up front, I've seen that. Well, you could probably then put Rooney where Mata was in that lineup and have Van Persie and Falcao up front. Rojo and Shaw Shaw's due to make his debut. Rojo and Shaw. I mean, you could have, you know, home debuts for Di Maria, debut for Falcao, for Blint, for Rojo, and for Shaw here, couldn't you?
Yeah, and
it's like the start of a new season.
It is, and it's whether these players gel immediately. And at 3-10. John, I'm guessing you don't want to pay the price, do you, here at 3-10?
Well, it does seem short, but I think QPR are probably the worst. I've got QPR. Them and Palace probably might go up a bit now, and then they've got a new manager, and they were all against Newcastle, but I've got QPR as the worst side. But man, I don't know. This game, to me, I think the prices look about right to me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I haven't had a bet in the game, but it's hard to know. It's hard to know what. After the Burnley game, it's interesting to see what the market does to Man U, whether it rates them up or down after that, I don't know.
Lee, we've talked about Manchester United's new signings. Harry Redknapp has been busy in the transfer market as well. There's a good piece on the BBC website about the transition of players, South American players in particular, into the Premier League. And Eduardo Vargas is in line for a start for QPR. And they've also got the Chilean defender Mircea Ila to come into the side. It will be interesting to see if those two players in particular gel, because it has been tough for South American players in the past to make this transition into the Premier League quickly. Anyway,
yeah, it is. And you know, he seemed a little bit desperate as well. Herrera, I've not been overly convinced by his business. To be honest, I like Much in midfield. I mean. He's played a couple of different systems already, Harry Redknapp, so he seems unsure about that as well. Will he go with three at the back again? It doesn't seem like Ferdinand and Dunn really know how to play that three at the back. It seems a strange thing to say, but they haven't played a three at the back system throughout their careers, so why try and teach, you know, old dogs new tricks? If he goes with the flat back four, I suppose a lot depends on how Man United shape up in this game. I can see Redknapp going there and obviously thinking, you know, they've been weak so far, Man United, but we'll go there and keep it as tight as we possibly can. They have to have learnt a lesson from the game at White Hart Lane, where they were terrible. They were off the pace, they let Spurs have the ball, and they just battered them, Spurs 4-0. I don't think QPR started playing until they went 4-0 down. So I expect a much tighter defensive and midfield performance from QPR here. The prices might be right, but until I see Man United do it, I couldn't trust my money on a price like that for Manchester United.
Yeah,
you know, he hasn't won a game yet for them. It's going to come sooner or later, obviously. But I don't think the prices would change that much if they were suddenly, you know, fantastic. It wouldn't be a massively different price. It's not a working man's price when you can't trust it. I think they will win, though. So I'm going to trust Harry Redknapp to organise his team, and with Rio Ferdinand trying to marshal that defence against his former club, I'm going to go for QPR to keep it tight until the break, and then Man United to win the game eventually. So half-time draw, full-time Manchester United.
100-30 the double result, half-time draw, full-time Manchester United. Manchester United 3-10 to win the game, the draw 4-1, QPR 10-1. A couple of headline offers here as well. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win is 5-4, and Charlie Austin to score and QPR to win 2-0, 20-1.
One other very quick thing, DK, is if you don't have a bet on this game pre-match and you're watching it and you're betting in play, I think you'll know pretty quickly how if things have changed at Man United. I've spent far too much time this week comparing Man United this season to Man United in seasons when Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge, and the differences are fairly stark. I won't bore you with too many stats, but in the Man United Swansea game, for instance, I took that as a gauge. In 2012, when they played them, they had 20 shots inside the area against Swansea.
Yep.
They had 6 this time round. There were only 4 successful crosses this time round from 28 attempts. That was 13 successful crosses from 50 attempts in 2012. Same with corners, same with passes in the final third. It's obvious where the problems lie for Man United. It's, you know, they have been built on getting the ball into the box with quality crossing and then finishing the chances off. If you see after 15 minutes that, you know, Di Maria is getting balls in the box consistently and there's more attacking passes, then I think it's well worth getting on them, quickly, because I think once that tide changes, once the confidence starts to flow, then they will become flat track bullies this season.
Okay, that's Manchester United versus QPR on Sunday afternoon. Monday night is Hull versus West Ham.
Yes! I've been waiting for 20 minutes for this game.
Hull 6-5, the draw 21-10, West Ham 5-2. Lee, Hull have had a few problems with discipline this season so far. Chester was sent off against Stoke. Yannick Sagbo dismissed against Lokeren. And they've actually been reduced to 10 men in 3 of their last 4 against West Ham as well. So maybe look at the cards in this game. They brought in Hatem Ben Arfa and Abel Hernandez as late signings. And the Ben Arfa signing in particular is one that if he can get into full stride at Hull City and there's no attitude problem with him, he's a top quality player, Ben Arfa.
Yeah, he is. Might not play this time though. I mean, Gaston Ramirez might get that role just behind the strikers, I guess. I mean, it depends on his fitness, doesn't it, on Hatem Ben Arfa, how he's come into the game, because obviously he's been out of favour at Newcastle, been training with the kids and all the rest of it. Abel Hernandez is still waiting for his visa, so doubtful that he'll play. Obviously, we've got till Monday night. Looked into Hernandez's record. I'm not overly convinced. You know, he scored 1 every 2 on average last season, but that was in Serie B. His injury record is pretty bad, to be honest with you. You know, he's consistently missed around 20 games a season over the past 3 seasons through injury. I'd be a little bit worried about that as a signing, but hopefully for the Hull fans, your Uruguayan can settle into life in the Premier League. Look, Hull drew their only game at home. They won both their Europa League games at home. Both teams have scored in each of the 3. West Ham went to Palace, won 3-1. I think both teams will score in this game. I like that bet. I like it to be pretty low scoring, because I think they'll cancel each other out. So under 2.5, and I think it'll be a draw. So by process of elimination, I've either one of them 3 or a 1-1 draw at 6-1.
Yeah, 6-1 the 1-1 draw. How do you rate these two teams then, John?
Yeah, I think Hull are all right, actually. I mean, I think that they're a slightly better team than West Ham, and then when you add in home advantage, so that's 6-5. That might be a shade of. I've backed Hull minus a quarter about 19-20. So that's equivalent to about 5-4 or 13-10. So it shortened up a little bit. But I agree with Lee. Definitely a lowish goals quote here. But I think West Ham have definitely improved a little bit from last season. And the market seems to like them a bit more. And but Hull, they're solid, aren't they? Hull, they're probably like 13th, 14th in the rating. So,
John, can I ask you a question? I mean, from your point of view here, like when you speak about a game, you say you're making an evaluation that Hull are a slightly better team than West Ham. You before the season, do you put teams in almost rank order as to where you'll finish, and that's how you judge how they'll do throughout the season. Yeah, it's just interesting how you. I think probably a lot of people listening will be thinking, why is you're very strong on your opinion on where this team will go, and that's what you base your betting strategy on, obviously.
Yeah, well, I rate the teams from the teams are rated from, there's obviously the 20 teams are in order, and then but but there's different gaps. So like I'll say that. So I've got Hull like 0.1 of a goal better than West Ham, and then home advantage is probably worth about 0.35, 0.4 of a goal in a game like this. So
and you're basing that on stats, on your own knowledge, on your own.
Yeah, it's a mixture of everything. Stats and all that. And obviously a big thing is the market as well. Mm-hmm, so like, yeah. especially on the day of the game, you have to respect where the money goes. So.
And how often do you change that during a season? I mean, is it pretty fluid?
After each round of games, I update all the ratings and everything. Yeah.
Okay.
See, I just look at team news and have a guess. I think I figured out what I'm doing wrong.
You were talking earlier, John, about not putting too much emphasis on personnel changes.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't really care about team news. No, I don't. I'm not. Obviously, there's some players where you have to adjust. Like Sturridge. I mean, he's not even so. That's not that. Like Suarez last year, you would have to make a big adjustment if he wasn't playing. But, you know, if Sturridge is out and Balotelli's coming in, it's not a huge change. But there are some players where you have to adjust and stuff. But a lot of the players, though, there's some out for some teams, some out for the other teams, and the players coming in, they're not going to be that much worse,
yeah.
Are they? So it's negligible stuff. So I don't tend to waste much time looking at teams, especially the amount of leagues I look at. I don't bother with it. I don't think it's that important.
No, it's interesting that, because the professional betting syndicates that I'm aware of, they do most of their business in the half an hour or the hour in the lead up to the game, won't they? When the team news has been released, and they put a lot of emphasis on that side of things.
Well, no, the reason why they wait till then is because that's when they can get big amounts.
So. Okay.
They won't be too fussy. I mean, obviously they'll know what the team's going to be at, like, in the morning and the day before, because they've got contacts at the club, so they already know what the team's going to be. Mm. The reason why they wait is so they can get big amounts.
The limits go up.
You see, like in the lead of the kickoff, but the Premier League, though, they can get big amounts on any time on the day of the game. But the lower leagues, they'll have to wait. Yeah.
So in terms of this particular game, Hull may be a little bit of value at 6-5 for you, John, and you like lowering the goals as well, like Lee.
Yeah, I think the price should look all right, but you can see from the quote, it's definitely a lowish goals quote this is, yeah.
Yeah, under 2.5 goals in the game is 4-7, over 2.5 goals, 13-10, and Lee, you're playing the one-all draw here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like correct scores generally, because, you know, but I just think all those three bets that I mentioned lead me to that one, so any one of the four that I mentioned.
I like that.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Let's move on to the non-televised games on Saturday afternoon, then 3 p.m. kickoff. We'll start off with Crystal Palace against Burnley. Why not? Crystal Palace 5-4, the draw 21-10, and Burnley in the betting at 12-5 here with William Hill. Both sides with just 1 point from their opening three fixtures, and Burnley, Lee, have had a particularly difficult start to the season. They might see this trip to Crystal Palace as a little bit of respite. It was a game that I thought goals looked almost guaranteed. Crystal Palace conceded at least twice in their last six matches. And Burnley have never kept a clean sheet away from home in a Premier League game.
Yeah, I agree. I think there will be goals. I mean, Palace had 6 in the game against Newcastle. They scored 3 at Walsall. They were beaten 3-1 by West Ham, and obviously there were 3 goals in the game at Arsenal as well. I don't really see Neil Warnock making too much of a difference to this Crystal Palace team. I've been opposing them since before the start of the season. Even when Pulis was still manager, I was opposing them then. I just didn't think they would have the same fight at the start of the season as they showed in the second half of last season, because the players start to believe their own hype a little bit, I think, and, you know, oh, we're great, you know, our manager won, you know, manager of the year in the Premier League, blah, blah, blah. Not quite as easy as that. Burnley are the ones who will be fighting in this one, and I think Burnley might get the first win here. Palace are 5-4. It's not really a price I can be backing a team like Palace at. You know, you go three. You know, to be leading at Newcastle in the way they were. You know, constantly leading in the game. Scored early, conceded. Scored again, conceded 2, and then managed to rescue it in the dying minutes. Not for me. I like the way Burnley play. You know, they built their championship season last year on. on pressing the opposition, on getting into them, on getting the ball and breaking fast. And in Danny Ings, obviously they've got a very good striker. Jutkovic has looked all right, probably more of a Championship striker than a Premier League one. But he's probably playing against Championship defenders as opposed to Premier League ones. So I'm going to trust Burnley here. I've been with Burnley. I've been against Palace, so I've got to go with them. I think 12-5 is fair enough.
12-5 for Burnley to win the game. John, your thoughts?
I think these prices, I can't argue at all with these, to be honest. The, I don't think there's much. I think Burnley possibly slightly the better team out of the two of them, but with home advantage as well. I think 5-4 is fair enough. But I don't know whether. I mean, the short term though, Palace might improve with Warnock. So I don't think it's terrible. It's a lot of people criticising it, but I don't think it's a terrible appointment. But I don't know. It's not. I've got no interest really in this one. I think the prices look pretty much bang on.
Good stuff. West Brom versus Everton is next up. West Brom 12-5, the draw 11-5. Everton in the market at 6-5. John, your team here, West Brom in action at home against Everton. Everton slight odds against. Everton have been pretty leaky so far this season. Conceded 10 in 3 games. Admittedly, 6 of them came against Chelsea. A couple of weeks ago, how do you rate Everton this season? First of all,
they're probably similar. They're probably similar, not much, that much different to last season. Really, they're probably the sixth best team, probably slightly better than Tottenham. There's not much in between them, Everton and Tottenham now. Albion, I don't think they're as bad as the media seem to project it. But Malumbu might be out for Albion here, so he's someone where I probably would adjust a little bit for it. And Lukaku's, there's rumours he's back for Everton, but those prices there again, they look pretty solid. But I think, I mean, there was a big market move for Albion away to Swansea. Away to Swansea, was it a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Swansea actually went off odds against for that game, but West Brom were absolutely orphans. Got comprehensively beaten by all accounts. I haven't actually seen anything about it, but. So I don't know. West Brom seem to be rated higher than the results suggest, but this looks pretty much bang on again to me. These prices here.
Do you like your new striker, Brown Adai?
He's come on a sub, hasn't he, a couple of times. He's meant to look quite sharp, but
I think he had a nice touch in the area that the cameras picked up on.
Yeah.
So I think everyone's got excited. It looks like he could be one of those players who comes in and scores, you know, maybe gets double figures, and you know, a bit like a kind of Wilfred Bony, maybe not quite as good as that, but
Georgios Samaros has come in to join him as well, which is an interesting pickup in the transfer market.
I'll probably beat him. one of the slowest players of all time.
Lescott's an interesting signing, though. You know, obviously playing against his former club this weekend as well.
Yeah, he might be back, but I always think I'm never a big fan of signings like that, though. You know, he's done it all in the game,
okay, yeah.
and this is like his final payoff. Last season they had Anelka and Lugano, old players like that have been at much bigger clubs. I just don't. I never players like that come into West Brom at the end of their career. They never seem to be good. He does seem like an okay character, so he might be all right, but I'm never sure of things like that.
But my thing for West Brom is I always think if they just went and bought a decent quality holding midfielder, rather than, you know, you look at the team that they may play, Brunt, Dorans and Brahino, you know, good attacking players, but there's not much kind of defensive-minded stuff in that, really.
Well, they've got Yakov, haven't they?
Yeah,
he's very defensive-minded, yeah.
But, I mean, they always look leaky to me, and Everton have been very leaky. I can see this having goals in it. I've already tried to go with goals in a West Brom game before, and it finished 0-0, which was a bit of a killer.
That was first week of the season, wasn't it?
I think it might have been second.
They've gone 1-1 and 0-0, haven't they, so far?
And then 3-0 Swansea, But I'm going to trust it again. I think there will be goals. I think just because of the way Everton have been playing as well. I mean, I think over 2.5 is at 10-11 is decent. The way the Everton defence has been.
Yeah.
Over 3.5 is 9-4, but I like that over 2.5. I can see 3 goals in this game easy.
Yeah, and I know this is your first time on the podcast, John, but every single week, he's not mentioned him yet, the name Stephen Naismith pops up, doesn't it? Lee's got a little bit of a man crush on this particular fella, and he's 6-4 to score any
time. I don't even know what it looks like.
5-1 to score first, 5-1 to score last. He's had 3 shots on target this season, and all 3 have gone in.
What more?
So there you go.
For?
That's why the man crush exists.
100% record.
Yep.
Accurate.
Fancy him again this week? Yeah, 6-4 to score any time.
I don't like that price that much. No.
Everton 6-5, the draw 11-5, West Brom 12-5. Lee going with the both teams to score at 10-11 in the game. Let's have a look at Chelsea versus Swansea then. 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday as well. Chelsea 3-10, draw. This is a common theme here. Chelsea 3-10, draw 4-1. Swansea in the betting at 10-1. Top two sides in the league here, Lee. Going head-to-head, both 3-3. Chelsea won at Burnley and Everton and at home against Leicester. And they've actually covered the -1 handicap in each match so far, Chelsea. Look at the moment to be the best side in this league.
Yeah. If we're comparing all three 3-10s,
yes,
this is the best one for me, by
far.
You think
so?
Yeah. I mean, Swansea, yeah, done great. But look at who they've played. They played Man United, who were woeful and haven't really been much better since. They played Burnley. You know, with all the will in the world, Burnley have struggled for their lives as well. And then West Brom, you know, I think West Brom had
two shots.
But on that day, they had 2 shots inside the 18-yard box in that 3-0 win that we've just been talking about. Chelsea had 5 shots in the area against Burnley, scored 3 of them. 9 in the box against Leicester and scored 2 of them, and 9 shots in the area against Everton and scored 6 of them. If Swansea allow Chelsea to have 5 or more shots in the area, judging by those stats, they'll get beaten. They won't be able to score as many goals against Chelsea. They've had some reasonable results against Chelsea, actually. You know, they've never been battered by them. After the very first game they played, they lost 4-1. Since then, it's been under 2.5 goals in each of the 7 fixtures they've played against each other in league and cup. The last 5 have all seen at least 1 clean sheet, so it's both teams to score now. Win to nil looks good for me for Chelsea here. Swansea haven't scored a goal against the Blues in any of the last 4. So I'm going to look at a win to nil for Chelsea. Could be quite spiky this, because I don't know if many people remember this, but Jose Mourinho refused to shake Gary Monk's hand in the game at the Liberty at the end of last season when Chelsea won 1-0, but it was a pretty feisty affair. It might be worth having a quick look at some of the prices for the bookings points. Over 30 booking points is worth a little look. And the ref is Kevin Friend. In his 2 matches this season, he's handed out 4 cards and 5 cards. One of those was the 2-2 draw at Arsenal and Everton, which I don't remember being a particularly dirty game. He's not shy about throwing the cards around and punishing players. Over 45 bookings points is 16-5. That might be taking it a bit far. So, 5 cards, I might be pushing it a bit. It's not a bad price, though. But I think worth a look at that one. But in general, I like Chelsea to win to nil.
That's 10-11, Chelsea to win to nil. John, just picking up from what Lee mentioned there about Chelsea being able to create chances against Burnley, Everton and Leicester, got to look at the flip side as well. Swansea have only conceded 1 so far this season, so there's no guarantee.
Against Burnley, West Brom and conceded against Man United.
Yeah, there's no guarantee, though, that Chelsea are going to have all those chances in the box like they did against the 3 teams they've beaten so far.
Well, I mean, they're definitely the best. I mean, I didn't the start of the season. I didn't actually think they were the best. You know, before the season started, they were Fav's anti-post, weren't they? I actually thought City should have been Fav's, but I've had to change that now. Chelsea, they are definitely the best team. Swansea are a good side. I mean, I've got them and Newcastle are pretty much. You know, they're talking like the, you know, 9th, 10th best teams around there. So I do like Swansea, but I've actually backed Chelsea minus 1.5 here, at just a shade of odds again. So just bigger than evens. That's the same as the -1 with the William Hill side. So I'm not convinced by it, folks. I mean, I do like Swansea, but there was that big move against Swansea against West Brom's. I do respect the money for that. I don't know whether the market's against Swansea at the moment, but I'm on small Chelsea minus a goal here, -1.5.
-1 Chelsea with William Hill in the betting at 5-6. 2 headline offers here as well. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win 2-1, and Wilfred Bony to score and Swansea to win in the betting at 16-1. Just to compare Diego Costa with former Chelsea striker Fernando Torres, if there is a comparison. Costa's scored 4 goals in 3 Premier League games this season, Anyone want to guess how long it took Fernando Torres to get four goals for Chelsea?
27 games.
Nope. Higher. 39. Jeez. 39 wow. games it took for Fernando
it's
Torres to get four goals.
Them.
It is. Let's move on. Let's have a look at Stoke versus Leicester. Stoke in the betting at 23-20. The draw 21-10. And Leicester in the market at 13-5. Leicester without a clean sheet in 11 in the league, John. That run does stretch back to 2004, though. The longest run of any side, as you can imagine. They have, though, scored in 33 of their last 34 league games. The only time they failed to score was against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Both teams are scoring the betting, incidentally, here at 21-20. Stoke, obviously, come into this on the back of that 1-0 win against Man City. And if you take that literally, Stoke odds against might attract a few people, John.
Not for me, actually. No. I mean, there's not much between them, but they're both decent sides. I do like Leicester. I think that the people talk about it, like the team has come up and they're going to struggle. So I don't see them that way. I think they're just below like Swansea and Newcastle and stuff. They're that kind of team.
The best of those teams that got promoted.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Yeah. They're probably like the 11th or 12th best team in the country. They're a good side. This one. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, when the market first came out of this game, Stoke were actually odds on for this. So they've gifted correctly to this price now. I mean, it looks about right now, but I probably prefer to lay Stoke here.
Stoke 23-20, the draw 21-10, Leicester 13-5. Lee?
Yeah, they both set up very similarly in a kind of 4-2-3-1 formation. The three is an attacking three, though. They have a winger either side, an attacking midfielder just sat behind the front man. Now, they could either cancel each other out, or it could be like an end-to-end classic. Mark Hughes has tried to get this new breed of football, and it was working quite well last season. This season, it didn't seem to work in the first two games. Went back to basics, and obviously got the brilliant win at Manchester City. Harder to do that at home, of course, against a team who their fans will expect them to beat. I'm going to go for the idea that it'll be end-to-end and there could be quite a few chances. I think both managers will want to maintain the momentum that they've had. Leicester have had the hardest start to any team in the Premier League, the teams they've had to play, and they've come out pretty well. You know, they could have taken the lead against Chelsea, ended up getting to half-time and losing in the end. But if Nugent had scored that chance that he had, they could have been one up going into the break. I like both teams to score. I think I looked earlier on, it was just a touch.
21-20.
Yeah, I like that.
I do.
Over 2.5 goals. It was 7-5, but I'll just double check the price for that. 13-10, more or less. Put both together, you know, you're getting a price, you know, getting on for 2-1 there, aren't you? The both seem to score an over 2.5 bet. 17-10. So a bit skinnier than I thought it would be, actually. So I like those. I like those a lot. We could see a debut for Cambiaso here, by the way.
Yes.
Inter Milan legend, Argentinian legend, Cambiaso come in. I mean, you listen to any of the players or Nigel Pearson, and they are speaking about him in such glowing terms, his effect that he's had on the training pitch. And he said that one of the players said that even the injured lads came out and brought out the bike, that's the static kind of bike, exercise bike, brought those out outside.
Static bike.
Well, yeah. I don't know. You wait, that'll catch on. I'm going to copyright static bike.
A static bike.
You know what I mean? An exercise bike. Yeah. That's it.
They've been around for decades.
Hey, you can tell how long it is since I've used one, John.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah.
One of those static bikes. They brought them out onto the edge of the pitch to watch him train and do the recuperation. So that'll be interesting to see if
he was a championship manager legend, wasn't he? Cambiaso.
He was absolutely
around the turn of the year 2000. He was absolutely top drawn champion. He's like a must-buy player.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be interesting to see how he is now. He's not ancient. You know, he'll obviously be able to do a bit, I guess. But yeah, any one of those bets or the both teams scoring over 2.5 together would be nice. But my favourite bet is the both teams to score at 21-20.
Yeah. By the way, you'll find one of those static bikes. In one of those places where everyone works out all the time.
Those exercise rooms.
Yeah, exercise rooms. that's where you'll find one of those.
I must visit one day.
Stoke in the betting at 23-20. Draw 21-10. Leicester in the market at 13-5. Penultimate game this weekend, Sunderland-Tottenham. Sunderland 12-5. The draw 23-10. Tottenham in the betting at 23-20. This one a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday as well. Lee, Tottenham brought back down to earth really last time with a 3-0 loss at home to Liverpool. Sunderland started with a couple of draws at West Brom and at home to Manchester United. Then they were beaten at QPR 1-0, which I think shows their limitations, really.
Yeah, not got too many thoughts on this game, really. I think Tottenham will go and win it, though. I think they will bounce back. Their frailties were showed, you know, in the game against Liverpool. Like, they just don't seem to be able to cope when it gets to the big boys. But you look at their away performances, only two so far. They went to West Ham and won 1-0. Went away to AEL and won 2-1 in the Europa League. Yeah, I think Tottenham will get it done. I don't really rate Sunderland. I don't really get excited by them, really. I know Conor Wickham scored goals, but it doesn't really get me too excited. So, Tottenham win.
He's no Stephen Naismith.
Conor Wickham doesn't get you excited.
No, he's no Stephen Naismith.
Not like Naismith.
No. How do you see this game, John?
I am. Again, I think the prices look pretty much. I haven't had any bets in. I mean, I was big on Liverpool away to Spurs a couple of weeks. So that was one shining light in a dark month for me. So that was good. But I mean, Sunderland, I don't particularly rate them either. But again, it's a game I haven't had a bet on. But it looks correctly priced to me.
12-5 Sunderland, the draw 23-10, Tottenham 23-20. A couple of headline offers here as well on the William Hill website. Stephen Fletcher to score and Sunderland to win is in the betting at 6-1. Emmanuel Adebayor to score and Tottenham to win in the market at 3-1.
Of the goal scorers, the only thing I would say about this the Spurs team is I would veer away from some of the strikers here. I'd be looking at the likes of Eriksen and Lamella, the much better prices, and that they can score from nothing effectively. You're looking at over 2-1 for both of them, 12-5 for Lamella. So I'd definitely have a look at the midfielders or the attacking midfielders to score rather than the front men for Spurs.
Finish off with Southampton versus Newcastle, 3 p.m. Saturday. Southampton 5-6 odds on Southampton, a draw 11-5. Newcastle in the betting at 4-1. Headline offers: Graziano Pello to score and Southampton to win 3-1. Johan Gufran to score and Newcastle to win in the betting at 9-1. Southampton, John, found their stride against West Ham a couple of weekends ago. Newcastle were very well backed against Palace in their most recent league game, but they conceded late in the piece, and Crystal Palace got a draw there in the end. Southampton and Ronald Koeman appear to have invested reasonably well in the summer, because there was a lot of negativity going into the new season for Southampton.
No, I like it's amazing, really. Like the players have lost, and the market hasn't really rated them down. They're pretty much similar strength to last year, which I was expecting the market to be against them, but they've looked really good, and I like them. This game here, I mean, I wouldn't back them now at this price, but you could, you know, a couple of weeks ago you could get a Saints for like around about even money, which was value, but it's it looks pretty much right bang on now. But yeah, they've done well, but they've bought some good players. Yeah, they're a really well run club. They are, Southampton.
Yeah, I like the players they've brought in.
Yeah,
Lee,
they're good.
Graziano Pella. They've brought in Dusan Tadic, a guy that you really like. James Ward-Prowse is featuring prominently as well for Southampton. Mm-hmm. Got some good players, haven't they?
Yeah, I like them. Yeah, I think they've, despite all the changes and all the doom and gloom, I think they've managed to maintain the ethos of the club, if you like, and they're moving forward, and they've made some decent signings. Newcastle just seem to be like a step away from disaster all the time. There's lots of pressure now all of a sudden again on the manager's shoulders. He's got lots of injuries in his squad. CMD Young, who we really like, he's out now for a few months, which is a big blow for them. He was injured in pre-season, so it could well be one of those seasons now where he just has niggly injuries throughout. I'm not a massive fan of Newcastle. They look a reasonable price, to be fair, if they can get any kind of lineup out, 4-1. I mean, it might attract, I'm sure it'll attract a bit of money in the northeast. But for me, I think Southampton win this game. 5-6 is a bit skinny, though.
I think they probably will. I mean, I think people probably will see that and think 4-1. Yeah. 4-1's big, but I wouldn't back it. But
it's one of those prices, John, that would tempt in. I think they'll be in the book,
Newcastle will definitely be a loser at those prices.
When they went to Villa the other week, they went there and it was obvious they set up to get a point. You know, haven't had a win since they beat Hull 4-1 in March. Lost 5 on the spin at the end of last season, then got the draw at Villa. I think he'll go and try and do the same thing here again with Southampton. You know, Southampton haven't been scoring goals at home particularly either. So I think, again, I'll probably leave the outrights alone because of the prices, although I think Southampton will win it. But I'd be looking at low on the goals. Under 2.5 is 7-10. Under 1.5 is 9-4. I think I like that. I could see a 0-0 draw. I could see a 1-0 win for Southampton. So under 1.5 goals for me.
Okay, chaps, that wraps up the weekend's action. Just we've got to talk naps, haven't we?
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, John, but we asked you for your bet of the weekend, basically.
Bet of the weekend.
Yeah, so far the guests have won 2 and lost 1.
That's right.
I think.
Yeah.
So there's no real pressure.
It's been a lot better than what's happened in the studio.
What's your record so far
on the naps? I'm 1-3, and it was a slight odds against shot at 21-20, so not exactly stellar form so far.
I'm 1-3, and it was a 2-1 shot.
Yeah, so you're breaking even at the moment.
That's all right.
Let me have that. So I'll go. I think I'll go Hull then. Hull 6-5 v West Ham.
Okay, Hull 6-5 versus West Ham for John. I'm going to go for a bet that you mentioned earlier, Lee. I'm not stealing this. I'm not stealing this at all.
If you nick mine, I'm going to cry.
No, I'm going with both teams to score.
Oh my God, you can't do that, can you?
Stoke,
you can't listen
Leicester
to all the bets and
nick
mine.
This is the one that I had noted down because it was odds against Stoke Leicester. And I think there's goals in this game, so 21-20.
I'm going to have to pick another one then.
Odds against Stoke.
Look, I've written that down. Stoke v Leicester 21-20. This is an absolute scandal.
They're both teams to score, so you've got to pick a new one.
My God, I've got to pick another one. How long have I got here? Give me a secondo. The other one I liked for goals was the West Brom Everton game. Just have a look at the what's both teams to score in the West Ham Everton 4-6. Jeez. Look, I'll go. Over 2.5 goals in the West Brom Everton game at 10-11. Then I think both teams obviously have showed that they can score and concede. So I'll go 10-11 in that one. But I would like it put on record now that Stoke v Leicester 21-20 was my bet of the week.
Steal my bet. Okay, Hull 6-5. Yes, for both teams to
unless
score. Stoke versus Leicester at 21-20. Over 2.5 goals. West Brom versus Everton. 10-11. If you fancy that treble, 7.61-1.
Get on quick,
John. Pleasure speaking to you on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for joining us, John.
No worries, Dave. Anytime, mate. Anytime.
Cheers, mate.
Lee, it's been emotional once again with you in the studio.
I think I've picked up some tips, so I'll be a little bit more professional come next week. Cheers, John.
No worries. I'll see you later. Cheers.
Thanks,
bye.
Thanks, mate. Have a good weekend, bud.
Bye.
Thank you for your company on the pump. I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm talking to the listener. Thank you for your company, listener, on the pump podcast. Thank you again to professional punter John Withers for joining us, and to the man on my right, Lee Phelps,
amateur punter.
And until next time, we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.